Just a brief announcement, dear brethren, this morning. To remind you of those who want tapes, you fill out put your name in at the form, or if you want videos, just go see Charlene or Peter here at the desk for the videos. And those who have anyone else who desires to symbolize their consecration, you're welcome to come and sit in the front row here. It certainly gives me great privilege at this time to introduce to you the one who will give us the baptismal discourse. We're happy to have Sister Diana and Brother Bob Gorecki with us this day. And I've learned to love them many years ago, and they're great people. And so it's a great privilege and a great honor to introduce to you Brother Bob Gorecki, who will present the baptismal discourse this morning. Brother Bob, please.
Well, dear brethren, it's a real pleasure for Deanna and I to be here at convention. If you'd have asked us 3 or 4 months ago whether we were going to be out in Vernon this year, of course, the answer would have been no. But the Dawn Plan is closed on Thursday and Friday because of the holiday, and Deanna was looking at a program here just a few weeks ago and said, boy, this is a great program. Perhaps we should think about going to Vernon. And so it was that quick decision that has brought us here, and what a privilege the Lord has showered upon Deanna and I, the privilege of seeing all your faces and the warmth, and again experiencing the beauty of another Vernon or Okanagan Valley Convention. It's a real great joy for us to be here. Remember the times past where our grandchildren were with us up in Star Mountain, is it called? Silver Star, yes. And they still remember the joys that they had when they were here. We're going to try and cram a lot in the next 25, 30 minutes, so we'll probably speak a little on the fast side, but first off, I want to bring you the love of the brethren at New York Church and also the brethren at the Dawn. I want to report about Brother Leo. Leo Post gave us a little bit of a scare here about a week and a half ago. He ended up in the hospital, and the prognosis was that he was very sick and he might die. But we found out in the days that followed that it was a medication problem. And so the two medications he was taking, he just started taking the second, and it was a reaction that that almost killed him, basically. But he was back in the office. And, you know, Leo, he goes in the hospital at maybe 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and he gets out on Tuesday morning, and he says to Ann Truth, I don't think I'm going to be able to come back to the plant on Tuesday. I'll wait till Wednesday to come back. That's the motivation and the drive that our brother Leo and Ann Truth have, and it's a real blessing to see the two of them literally shuffle into the office each day as they travel about 35 miles through New Jersey traffic and then go home from the plant. Our brother Austin Williams sends his love too, and you perhaps had heard that Austin had gotten sick on his way home from India, and again too, he was a few hours away from death, we find that he has fully recovered, and he had hemorrhaging of the brain, and doesn't know why it happened, but we're glad that he's back with us. I want to bring you also the love of a couple from Australia, Brother and Sister Mirsky. They are at the Dawn, and they'll be at the Dawn for about 2.5 months before they go to General and then to International and then back home. So they're a big blessing to us. I want you also to receive the love of our daughter, Debbie. Debbie has fond memories of many of you, and she wished to have her love sent to you also. And you brethren here of Vernon, I want to thank you for sharing David and Bernice with us at the Dawn. And we're looking forward to the 7 or 8 weeks, whatever it is, that David and Bernice will be joining us in October and November of this year. So again, we'll look forward to that privilege. And I've been suffering with some pain since about February this year. It's jaw pain, and I've had medication. I had doctors that tell me there's MRIs in the future. There's CAT scans. There's echocardiograms and all these things, and perhaps surgery. And yet, when I saw the doctor on Tuesday, he gave me, I said, pain pills, and he gave me those, and they didn't work. But it was interesting that when I was sitting at the table yesterday, there's a brother who has magic fingers, and he began to manipulate my back and the top of my neck, and I'm much better today. And so to realize that it took 3,000 miles travel to find a cure, I'm really thankful to the brother, and the brother Ted, and also to the Lord permitting this to happen. It was just a quirk as to how it came along, but I'm thankful for that. Just a minute or two. The dawn work continues on. Yes, we are lean. We are trying to outsource as many things as we can at the dawn. We have some new projects coming up. We have a new Spanish first volume that will be available in about 4 weeks. We're planning on making a new set of volumes, and we're talking about using Bible paper, so they'll be thin and they'll be larger print and easier to read. The funeral home effort continues with hundreds of funeral homes responding to the Hope booklets, and we're happy to provide them. And also there's been an expanded use of the 30-second commercials in different areas of the country. And again, the activity is that there perhaps are 12 to 13 or 1400 responses a month coming in for booklets. So the work goes on, and the Lord continues to bless the efforts of you brethren that support us, and the message of truth continues. One last item, and then we're going to go on, and that is we're going to receive 100,000 booklets next week, and they are four colored booklets. They're going to be being available to classes throughout America, and they're for free distribution, and they're meant to be passed out individually, not mailed out by the hundreds and so forth, but to be given to brethren in classes, to be distributed to your friends, to the mailbox of maybe a neighbor or at the restaurant for personal distribution. So we're going to be contacting you shortly and making these booklets available. There's going to be four subjects. So look for that in the mail, and hopefully we can together continue to present the message of truth. And yes, we continue to print the Dawn magazine. It's expanded to 10 languages now, and the work goes on. But you're not here to hear about the messages of what happens at the dawn. I would like to share those more with you, but it's a special day. It's a special day. It's a special hour. It's a special time for our dear sister, Juana. And it's a special day for her brother and mother and father. And Juana's from Romania, and she's been here in the country, I think, almost 5 years. Sister Alina, her mother, tells me in a couple of days will be the fifth year, the anniversary of their fifth year being here. So 5 years they've been in this country. And we're happy to have Juana here today. And we're happy for the occasion of sitting down and looking at some scriptures. And I know the discourses of the convention have been highlighted concerning the doctrines. We look at this doctrine, we're going to see that it's really the keystone of the scriptures, in the sense that it's the whole purpose of God was to call it a family for his own possession. And to get that family, it required dedication by individuals. And he's been looking for this family for over 4,000 years. It goes back almost to the time of Abraham, and it goes back to the time when Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, and they said, "Yes, we will do this, Lord. We will follow you." And if he says, "If you do this, I will make you a nation of kings and priests." So God has been looking for this family of his to dwell with, and we call that process dedication or consecration. We also call it water immersion. We call it baptism. There's a lot of terms that are used. And I know that Brother Sid mentioned some of the doctrines, and we can split this concept up into many little small doctrines, but really we're talking about it as the call of the church. And the call of the church has been going on for 2,000 years. Yes, before that it was an exclusive offer to the Jews, but they failed. They failed, and their house was left unto them desolate. About 30 years ago, at a general convention, there was a family who sang a song at a Vesper service. It was a mother and her children. And they sang the song, Amazing Grace. Three of those were singing yesterday here. It was the Fernet family. And you know, when you listen to those words, in fact, there was an article that said that the hymn Amazing Grace, which is now in our hymn book 126A, is the most widely sung hymn in the Christian world today. And what it talks about, it's the grace of God who has called us to be part of His family. And it says about a man who was a slave trader who dealt with human flesh and selling of them, and he transported them from Africa to the Carolinas, and one day he realized what he was doing and how terrible a thing he was doing. He became an abolitionist, which of course is against slave trade, but at the time he was this captain. And then he realized that God could have grace even for him. In the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, if you get a chance sometime, you read verses perhaps somewhere around the 10, 11, all the way to the 16th verses and then down. It's a story of Jacob and Esau. And God said that He was selecting a son before they were even born, and that the older son would serve the younger son, which is kind of contrary to human tradition. But in the 15th verse, Paul says that God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And that was his point. His point was, is that God can have mercy on whoever He wants. God calls whoever He wants. He doesn't call because mom and dad explained the truth to you. He doesn't call you because uncle or aunt said this to you. He doesn't call you because you live in Canada. He doesn't call you because you came to be with the brethren. He has called you because He wants you to be part of His family. And that's the amazing part, is that He can call anyone, and He's not obligated to call the oldest or the youngest or the brightest or the one who has the greatest qualities of life, but He calls who He chooses. You know, it goes down in that same chapter, and it talks about a potter, and he has clay, and he takes this clay, and it's out of one lump, and he takes a little bit, and he makes a beautiful vase. On that same clay, he makes a garbage pail, and the thought is that the clay doesn't have a right to say, well, why didn't you make me that beautiful vase? Why did you make me this pail? But God chooses who He wants. And He makes that offer, and He makes that offer to those who He desires to make that offer to. And it's interesting that in that Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, where it says, God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Go back to the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter. And remember, Moses says, I want to see you, God. And God says, well, you can't see me, Moses. And he said, well, okay, Moses, I'm going to put you in this crack of the rock here, and you'll see the backside of me. And there in that 19th chapter, verse of the 33rd chapter of Exodus, he tells Moses, he says, I, Jehovah, will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy to whom I will have mercy. It's my choice, he says. And that word gracious in the Hebrew, I will be gracious, if you look at it up in Professor Strong's, it means to bend or to stoop to an inferior. You know, it's always easy to bend down and stoop down because here's the king. But really it's saying here, God says, I will stoop down to a beggar. I will have mercy. And that's why when we look at ourselves, we realize that we have nothing. We have nothing to warrant God picking us over our neighbor or the person next door or down the street. But it's God's selection, it's God's mercy that He will stoop down to us. The scriptures tell us that, you know, we are as filthy rags. And, you know, in the shop when the old press is running for hours and hours and the ink is just all over everything and you wash up that press and these ink rags are just full of ink and you just want to get rid of them basically because they seem to cause that ink to jump onto everything, all this dirt. That's what the Lord says. He says, we're like those filthy ink rags. We are as filthy rags. We have no value. I mean, they don't serve any. You can't wipe them. You can't do anything with them. And so they're thrown away. But, you know, it's interesting when we look back in the Word of God, what did God look for His family? Did He look up into the heavens and say, well, we've got some angels over here and maybe there are some different levels of angels. They're perfect. I can select those to be my family. Well, no, He didn't go to that level. Maybe He could come down to earth and say, well, I'll take all those who have an IQ of 250 or whatever that number would be. He didn't do that. He didn't say, I'll take the richest people of this world. I'll take the most influential people. I'll take the people who have the biggest heart, who have the biggest commitment to serve me. He didn't do that. You know, when we look around, He took the nobodies. He took the ones and the twos, the one here and the one there. And sometimes he takes those of a family, and sometimes he doesn't. And it's not for us to say, why, Lord? Why didn't you pick all my children? Why didn't you pick my wife or my husband? But the Lord picks and He calls. And it's not automatic because He has called you that you automatically come to give your life in His service. There's a commitment that has to be developed within each of us to make that commitment something that God then finds acceptable to choose and have us to walk in His Son's footsteps. But many are called, as the Scriptures tell us, but few are chosen to run for the prize of the high calling. And we're not running because there's this great grand prize waiting for us. We're running to serve our Heavenly Father. You know, if that's the desire that we have more than anything else in the whole world, is to lay down our life and serve our Heavenly Father more than anything else, rather than being the CEO of this company or being the great banker or the great person here or there or the great musician. If our desire is to serve God and to commit our life to Him, and it doesn't mean committing and going into a monastery and closing the doors and saying, I'll sit and read the scriptures all the days of my life. That's not the commitment. It isn't to go into a closet and hide yourself and to be acceptable to the call of God. Look what our Lord did. I mean, our Lord came to Jordan. He laid down His life. He allowed John to baptize Him and to take Him into the water. And it was a symbol of His giving up His earthly life rights, His right to live forever here on the earth. And our Lord could have lived for a long time on the earth because He was perfect. And as long as He remained loyal, He could have lived forever here on the earth. But He gave that up. He gave that up for the opportunity to lay down His life in sacrifice. And so he showed that by water baptism. He allowed John to put him into the water. And, you know, that's a beautiful picture. Because a human doesn't exist underwater very long. And so the picture was to take that human life and to lower it in the water. And it was the picture of death. But, you know, when John brought our Lord back up, as going to happen to you, dear sister, this morning, it symbolizes a new commitment to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. In our Lord's case, it was to walk in his Father's will, to lay down his life as a sacrifice the remaining days of his life. Now, it didn't mean that he sat in the synagogue all the rest of his life. He continued his life as he would have, but he served others. He did what he could to be a blessing. He gave the message of truth. He was a perfect human being, but we have a different problem. We come up out of the grave, or out of the water, I should say, and we come up with that same flesh that we went into the water with. We're still frail humans. We still have our deficiencies. You know, we still probably say the wrong thing at the wrong time. We do the wrong thing at the wrong time, and we have to learn. We have to learn to put on the character of our Lord. That's the example before us. And it's like a three-legged stool. You know, if you have a stool with three legs and one leg is short, you're never going to sit well on that stool. Either you're going to fall off of it, or you're going to constantly fight this extra leg that's either too short or too long. But the three legs are really character development. Another leg is service to our God. And the third leg is doctrine and the instructions of what that service and what our life should be. So we have three legs: character development, service, witness activity, which is service, and the third is to understand the Word of God through the doctrines or through the teachings of the Scriptures. And if we do them in balance, we'll have a stool that we can sit comfortably on. But if we become obsessed with knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures, and they overpower our service commitment or our character development, we're going to be sitting like this. So, dear sister, in the days ahead, the goal before you, and has been the goal of all of us, is to develop that stool with equal length legs, to develop the understanding of what God wants us to do and to understand His words, to witness to His great love for us and for the world, and also to shape and develop our character that we can be more pleasing and more Christ-like. In Pennsylvania, they're known for being called the Keystone State. And why they're called the Keystone State is because back a couple hundred years ago, they had a lot of stones, and they used to build bridges. And they used to build these beautiful arch bridges out of stone. And in this process of building these arches over the rivers, there was one keystone. It was a large stone that was set into the stones of that bridge, and it supported the stones from all different directions. That's why it was called a keystone. And brethren, that's our commitment, is our dedication, is that keystone. If that stone came out of that bridge would collapse. So if our dedication and commitment to serve God ever dwindles or ever is taken away, whatever else we have just crumbles. So let us continue to be focused on the events of today and the commitment which they represent, and that is our desire to serve our Heavenly Father to the best of our ability. Is it going to be easy? Well, you can ask all these brethren of yours, is it easy to walk in the narrow way? Is it easy to walk when your neighbors don't walk the same way you do? Many have found that this new life has caused separation in their families, that the love of others has dwindled because of our commitment to serving our God. Sometimes we're going to find that some of the friends we had before are no longer our friends because they don't understand why we have changed our life and our aims in life as we have. But as a follower of Christ, it's a testing time between now and the day that you breathe your last breath. It's going to be a test upon your loyalty to serve God. But what's great is that with that test, we have the assurance that God is always with us, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we're never alone in this test. I mean, it's not like going to school and having this great exam and it's all relying on you to come up with the right answers. In this case, the Heavenly Father is watching over you. And when you have a question, you can quickly and easily go to Him and ask for His help and His assistance. You have the brotherhood to help you as you walk in this new way. Yes, some of the tests are going to come from your families. Some of the tests are going to come even from your brethren. And that is, the brethren aren't perfect like we once thought they were. I mean, we look around and we think that our brethren always say the right thing and always do the right thing, and yet sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But we have to realize that all of us are imperfect, and they have their shortcomings just like we have, and so we have to overlook these shortcomings of our brethren. But it's going to be a test, because we must not put our brethren to the point of being perfect and realize that they are frail humans just like we are. Sometimes the greatest test is going to come to us. Is our human desires are going to test our commitment to serve God. Sometimes we're going to find that we want things our way. And sometimes when we study, we're going to find some topic that we think that we've come across a new concept that is totally different than the brethren have ever heard of, and it is the only concept. But we'll find out that as time goes on, that there are no new concepts and that we can discover that are our own, but it's a mixing of the scriptures together so that they're all in harmony with the plan of God. Being consecrated is not a popularity contest. It isn't because you're here with all the brethren today and it's going to be that way the rest of your life. Your young sister and I'm sure that the prospects of outliving 3/4 of us here in this room is very good. As you look around, there's a lot of gray hair and some of us who don't have much hair. And so there might come a time where you're going to find yourself alone, or maybe just one or two. But you're never alone in the sense that the Heavenly Father is always with you. And our elder brother there is also to help us, and that's our elder brother, our dear Lord. We have the communications, the ability to talk at night or any time when we need to our Heavenly Father. And maybe we always don't like the answer we receive, and so we have to listen and we have to be patient. But the right answer will come. Yes, it's not going to be easy to turn the other cheek. When someone says something to you or causes harm to you, you know, the human flesh cries out for equality, the old law covenant, an eye for an eye. But not as a new creature, not as a follower of Christ, we're to turn the other cheek. We're to overlook what our brother or what our neighbor or what our enemy says to us. We are to love our enemies. And that's a real struggle. You know, even though we're doing right and the other person is wrong, to accept their wrong as something that is permitted by the Lord, that's a difficulty that I have, and perhaps I will fight that to the day I die. But the Lord continues to test us and to prove us. Your decision to be immersed today is an indication to all of us that our Heavenly Father has continued to leave the door of opportunity still open. You know, as we get down to the end of the age, we find that these type of services become less and less. The opportunity to dedicate and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus is coming to an end. And we realize that it must come to an end. And we're all looking forward to that kingdom, and when the door will finally shut, not by us, but the Lord will shut that door, and the purpose of 6,000 years of sickness, pain, and sorrow will come to an end. So we're happy to have you here today. We're happy to realize that the Lord continues to call, and the work is still in our hands to present the message of truth, the hope of the kingdom, and the gospel message that perhaps one or two here or there might hear the call and respond with the dedication as you have, dear sister. It's a solemn occasion, but it's a joyous occasion. You know, we're solemn in the sense that we realize it's a very serious decision that you have made, but we're joyous that you have made that decision, because now you are become one of the brotherhood. You have become one of us in the sense that we can walk together for the same goals, for the same prize, for the same purpose. So we are happy for you today, dear sister Juana, and we ask that the Lord would continue to guide you and to direct you, as we know He will. He has promised that He will never test us beyond our abilities. Yes, we'll be tested, and it doesn't mean that He will eliminate the test, but with it He will provide the strength to endure the test. And that's the great lesson that we must learn, that no test that comes upon us is any different or unorganized by the Heavenly Father. There should be no surprises in our life. If we would have a car accident tomorrow, if we would find that one of us has cancer and we're about to pass away, the Lord knew about it before that. Let us not think that we are out of the control of the Lord. The Lord controls the life of His family. And He doesn't permit anything to happen to us that's beyond our abilities. Doesn't mean He puts a fence around us and makes everything fine and happy. We can make mistakes, we can trip, we can fall, we can hurt ourselves. But the Lord doesn't allow us to go to the breaking point. He's with us there to help us and to lift us up and to carry us when we need it the most. So, dear sister, we're happy for this occasion. We have a couple of questions to ask you. They're simple questions. And we'd like to have you stand, if you would, please. And the first question is, do you recognize that you are a member of Adam's fallen race? Okay, thank you. And the second question is, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Redeemer? Thank you. And the third question is, have you made a full and unreserved consecration to serve our Heavenly Father and to give up the opportunity of coming back here on the earth as a human for the opportunity of living and reigning with Christ 1,000 years. Thank you very much. Well, based on those answers, I'd like to offer you a scripture that perhaps you can keep with you. And the scripture comes out of the Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 5th verse. And the Apostle Paul is quoting out of the scripture out of Isaiah 41 and 10. And he says, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful scripture to have.
So, dear sister, I'd like to welcome you in to the family of God.
While we'll be closing this portion of our service this morning, we'll have Sister Wanda and the Mercer. They can go now and have changed their robes. So whoever the sisters are in charge will take care of you in preparing you. And also the Mercer as well. So we will be closing this morning session with the use of hymn number 277. We will sing the first three verses of 277. And please remain seated after the last verse. 277, 1, 2, and 3. Conclusion of this service, those who desire to come to the pool may do so, and those who want to remain here, you're welcome to remain here as well. And so those who will be going to the pool, you will take your hymn books with you. Make sure you bring them back, because there'll be nobody there to sing it at the pool. And to go to the pool, there'll be brethren which will assist you. As you go out this door, as you come out outside the lobby, you're going to turn to your left, and you'll see a door entrance into the motel, right at the left-hand side as well, right in there, and the pool is inside, and there'll be brethren there to direct you. And now we'll have Brother Bob close this session with prayer. We'll ask you all to rise as Brother Bob dismisses this portion of our service.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, this beautiful day of convention, and this beautiful experience of witnessing the desires of our sister Juana as she symbolizes the commitment that has taken place within her heart in days past. We thank you, Father, for this assurance that the opportunity of the high calling remains open. And we thank you for the privilege of having another dear sister amongst our midst, that we might see the enthusiasm and dedication of youth, that it might encourage us to press onward these remaining days of our life. We pray that we might be a blessing one to another, that together we might hold high the banner of truth, and together we might all be faithful into death, that we might have the privilege of living and reigning with your dear Son and raising up the world of mankind. So, Father, this solemn but yet joyous occasion has been a blessing to us to be part of. Continue to guide and direct us, and, Father, be with us through the remaining days of our lives, as well as our sister Juana, that she might show the faithfulness in serving Thee in both spirit and truth. We also are mindful of the brethren on the face of the earth. Continue to guide and direct them, Father, and be with us in the further sessions of this convention. And we thank you for those that have made it possible. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.